This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to another Arse Blog Arsecast, right here on arseblog.olayolay.com. Hope you're well. It's been more or less 7 days since the last game. Those spells of rest between games are now more or less over, and hopefully will stay over till the end of the season. The games are going to come thick and fast, like a retarded sprinter, if that makes any sense. We've got Champions League action, we've got Premier League action, some more Champions League action, more Premier League action, and hopefully it will continue like that towards the end of May, and all being very positive indeed. Anyway, on this week's show, we've got our Shavin Sylvester is here, Gilberto Silver from GunnerBlog.com will be along in a few moments' time to talk about what's been going on in general, looking ahead to the Birmingham game, and of course, the Champions League games against some Spanish team I don't think I've ever really heard of before, so it shouldn't be any great problem playing them. So, since the last Arsecast, things have continued well enough in the Premier League. A 2-0 win over West Ham was not as comfortable as we might have liked. We went 1-0 up fairly early, which was good. Danielson scoring his sixth goal of the season from outside the box. And, sat back on our laurels a little bit. Arsene Wenger said afterwards that they were maybe not quite focused, not quite in the game. The draw against that Spanish team, who I can't remember who they are, had just been made. And obviously, playing a Spanish team, even one as lowly as whoever this team is, preyed on their minds a little bit. And I think we got taught a lesson, and also maybe got away with the lesson. Maybe there's a lot of learning to be taken from that lesson. We sat back. We didn't kill the game off. It has been a familiar complaint. And just before half-time, Thomas Vermaelen was sent off. And a couple of times I've been asked about the sending off this week. And it is just very harsh to lose a player, not only for the entire second half, as well as having a penalty given against you, as well as having him suspended for the next game for what was the merest touch, the merest coming together between Vermaelen and Franco. And Franco's the kind of player, you get the sense that if you looked at him funny, he would fall over if he thought he might get a penalty. So, I can understand why we appealed. And despite my worries that they might increase it, from various things people have said on the comments and on Twitter, they can only increase that ban for a frivolous appeal if the initial suspension is for violent conduct. I wasn't aware of that, and it may not be 100% true, that, but you can see why the club appealed then if that was the case. If there was no danger of an extra game, then they were probably quite right to give it an appeal. The difference, of course, had Franco been clean through on goal with the ball at his feet and Vermaelen had clipped his heels or, you know, kicked him up the hole, then you can say, yes, penalty, yes, sending off and a suspension, that's fair enough. You couldn't really argue. But given the circumstances, it does seem a rather disproportionate punishment. So it could have been very costly. It wasn't, with thanks to Manuel Almunia, who made a fantastic save and a really, really outstanding second half performance from Arsenal. West Ham were in it at the start. We changed things around a bit, played all the football, as far as I can see, passed the ball around, and you had players who were absolutely outstanding on the day. Diaby, fantastic. Danielson had the best game he's had in a very long time, and probably the kind of form that we all hope that we can see from him, even though we haven't seen it very much this season. Alex Song, moving into centre-half, didn't faze him one bit. And overall, the team played very, very well, kept the ball brilliantly. And West Ham, apart from that one shot I think Carlton Cole had, didn't really threaten. We got the goal that confirmed it. Cesc Fabregas with his 18th goal of the season. Sit back and think about that for a moment. 18 goals from central midfield, which is absolutely incredible. And when you add on all the assists he's had this season, he really has been outstanding too. And you have to say that the game against West Ham wasn't probably one of his best performances, but, on the season overall, he's just been absolutely brilliant. The other results didn't necessarily go our way. Manchester United beat Liverpool. Liverpool were absolutely terrible. Chelsea dropped some points against Blackburn, but spanked Portsmouth in midweek. But now, there's no games in hand. Everybody's played the same. There's only 2 points between third and top, and we're right in there. And it'll continue this weekend. So, a fantastic performance. Again, it's one of those performances that leads you to believe that perhaps something is going to happen this season. That belief, that confidence that the team have. They didn't let their heads go down. I mean, the penalty save was so crucial. You just wonder how we might have reacted with 10 men had that gone in. But, you've got to give credit at the end of the day with 10 men for the whole second half. It was rather marvellous. To talk a little bit more about that now and all the other bits and pieces that have gone on, here's Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog.com. Hello there.
Hi there.
West Ham on Saturday, a rather good response considering the circumstances. We talk about defining moments in seasons. You can look at Aaron Ramsey's injury for consolidating the squad, etc. But Manuel Almunia's penalty save just before halftime could be one of those moments as well.
I think so. You'd also look at the Carlton Cole shot went off the post and could have crept into the corner. But that penalty save itself was a great save. He's had a lot of stick this season, Almunia, but what he's always been is a decent shot stopper with good reflexes. He came a little bit off his line, but he turned the penalty away, and you could just sense that gave everybody in the team a big lift. You know, there was a lot of Sol Campbell going around slapping people on the back and high fiving, and there was a sense that we had overcome the worst of it by surviving the penalty, and we went on from there, really.
The sending off of Vermaelen, I think there's not much point in going over it because it's harsh, and I think we all agree on that. The club appealed, the appeal didn't work, so his ban is upheld. He misses the game this weekend against Birmingham. It leaves the manager, I suppose, in a little bit of a quandary as to what he's going to do defensively. Alex Song moved back on Saturday against West Ham, and I think it's a testament to the season he's had that, you know, it just looked like another easy job for him. You know, he wasn't asked. He could have done it all day long. He was brilliant. But Sol Campbell, obviously being the age he is and having been out of the game a little bit, you worry a bit about the fitness. And I was watching Arsene's press conference today, and he was asked, can Sol Campbell play against Birmingham at the weekend and then play against Barcelona at a high level in the Champions League? And initially I thought the manager might rest him, but he says, I'm only thinking of playing Sol in the next game. So it's really a question of who's going to partner him this weekend.
Yeah, well, it looks that way, like you say, as we speak. I mean, Song did very, very well at the weekend, and I really, you know, we can't underestimate how good a season he's had and how much he has improved. What I would say is the kind of calibre of player he was up against for West Ham. I mean, Mido is probably has similar fitness problems to Sol, do you know what I mean? Despite there being about 10 years between them.
Similar fitness problems to me, not yeah. to Sol.
I think you're right. And West Ham are a side in real trouble. They're struggling for goals. Carlton Cole didn't start. I think for me, he's their best forward. Franco and Mido are a sort of a comedy duo up there, really. I think that Birmingham, they've got Cameron Jerome and Christian Benitez, who are two very physical, very busy forwards, and I think would provide a much sterner test. I do expect Song to play there. The reason for that is that I think that Song will probably play in midfield on the against Barcelona, and I think that they wouldn't start Sylvester and Campbell together at the weekend. I just think it's too big a risk, and I think that both of those players are susceptible to not being ready for the Barcelona game, in a few days' time, and we couldn't run the risk of losing both of them. I mean, we are down to the bare bones in central defence at the moment.
William Gallas obviously is out and has been out for quite some time. There's talk about him possibly being back for the Wolves game. Arsene has ruled him out of this weekend, certainly ruled him out of the first leg of the Barcelona game. Says it's too early to tell if he'll be back next weekend. The mystery injury, we don't know. He's been away at a rehab centre in France. What they've been able to do that our medical team haven't been able to do, I don't know. But he was speaking about the contract and said he wasn't really going to dwell on it because we've got a huge amount of football to play and the focus has got to be on the football and not individual contracts, which is absolutely understandable. But he said, I think we're winning the battle. And it's an interesting kind of phrase, that, isn't it? That to keep a player at the club is a battle. And he either wants to stay or he doesn't want to stay. And for me, you know, having the situation having gone on this long, I don't expect him to sign. Your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, I think that it's interesting. It does seem like a standoff, because from what we know of Arsene, he's a canny negotiator, you know, and there are things that he won't bend on. He will not break a wage structure. He will not really, unless it's an absolutely exceptional circumstance, override his policy regarding ageing players. I think Gallas is an excellent defender, and he's had a really good season. And I think while he's been out, it's maybe easy to forget the contribution that he's made. But for a long time, this Saturday against Birmingham will be the first time we play a game without either one of Vermaelen or Gallas. Mm. They've been really critical to getting us to the position that we're in. It looks like it's not going to happen. For me, when I see Arsene saying, well, we're not going to start talking about it soon, he'll be saying, we'll talk about it at the end of the season, I suspect. Mm. And then once it's at that point, I mean, I think it's Gallas can be fielding offers from Italian football from January, you know.
Yeah.
And I suspect that those will be more lucrative offers. And I suspect that, crucially, there'll be longer deals. I can see him getting a three-year contract at another club. So I think that the signs are that he's leaving. It leaves us in a really bare position coming into the summer, whereby theoretically you could lose Gallas, you could lose Sylvester, and you could lose Campbell. I mean, they're all got deals expiring. There's been no talks with Campbell or Sylvester as far as I'm aware. And then we're left with Vermaelen, Juru, who's sort of the forgotten man. And beyond that, it's very, very sparse. So partly just for continuity, because I think our defence is improving, I would like to keep Gallas around. Though I agree, for me, it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
All right. Let's quickly just touch on the Birmingham game itself, because they're a tough team to play. You spoke about the forwards they have. Alex McLeish has done a great job there. And maybe in a way, though, I think it might be a reasonable time to play them, because they went through a tremendous spell earlier in the season and people were talking about them, you know, reaching Europe and all that kind of stuff. As they do, they tend to overplay things when any team goes through a decent spell or a bad spell. It's overplayed, whether it's good or bad. However, they've only lost two games at home this season. There is, of course, the baggage of the Eduardo incident the last time we played them there. So it's going to be a tough task.
It is going to be tough. I have to say, I'm delighted that it looks like Nicholas Bent is going to be fit, because I wouldn't fancy Eduardo starting that game with the psychological effects it might have on him. You know, the trauma of going back to St Andrews and, frankly, his form of late. Birmingham are a decent team, you know, a sort of top half of the table side, and that's a hell of an achievement. Though I agree, they've fallen off recently. And some of those players have got, you know, ageing legs. Lee Bowyer, Barry Ferguson, Stephen Carr. These are not young, sprightly players. And it wouldn't surprise me if the effects of a long season were starting to take their toll. We, on the other hand, have one of the fittest teams in the league. You know, you can just look at the stats for us scoring last-minute goals for that. So, and we've got really positive momentum. So we've got no reason to go there without confidence. And I think that there'll be a few players, the likes of Cesc, who will remember what happened at St Andrews last time we were there and be absolutely desperate to put that right.
And Eduardo too, I would imagine. A great place for him, perhaps, you know, to relaunch his season if he can get on and do that.
Well, that would be a brilliant, brilliant story, and I would love more than anything for that to happen. Mm. I have to say that looking at Eduardo, I do worry about his long-term viability as an option. I think that he's badly out of form. He's a quality player with real intelligence and some moments of brilliance that we've seen from him in an Arsenal shirt. But it, for me, he's still got a long way on that road back. And the fact that I'm much happier to have Nicholas Bentner in the team is about more than Bentner's physique.
I think it'll be interesting in the summer because we know Arsene is, you know, he studies the physical stats of players, and when they show a decline, he's not slow about moving them on. So we'll see. But fingers crossed, you know, he's had a troubled season, and hopefully he can bounce back from that. Now, I know we talk about looking at the next game, but we can't leave it without speaking about the Champions League draw. Barcelona versus Arsenal, one for the purist, two great footballing teams, a massive test for this team.
Enormous. I mean, everybody's talking about Messi, though you almost forget about the other players they've got, the likes of Xavi, Iniesta, Dani Alves, even, you know, Ibrahimovic, even our very own Thierry Henry, who I don't think will start. He's sort of fallen out of favour somewhat in Barcelona, but they are a phenomenal side. You know, they won the Champions League last year, beating a United side who were much more solid than this season's team. And it will be a hell of a test, but I think it'll be a hell of a game. And I can't help but feel we're in something of a no-lose position going in.
Yeah. Just in terms that nobody expects us to do anything.
Right? Well, I've not heard one, you know, pundit, and I know that their opinions don't necessarily mean that much, but I've not heard anybody fancy Arsenal, really. Yeah. And I just don't see why we oughtn't do it, you know. I don't think that Barcelona come up against teams of Arsenal's quality that often. I think in La Liga, Real Madrid and Barcelona absolutely dominate that league from what I can see. I don't think that there's the same depth of quality. And I think that we in La Liga would be, you know, as we are in this country, title contenders. And I think we're going to really test them. I think that there aren't as sides who attack with the same fervency, the same directness, the same penetrative qualities that we have. The question will be, can we keep things tight at the back?
Well, I think that's a question for both teams, because the weak area, as far as I can see, in both Barcelona and Arsenal is defensively. Because I was watching the game against Zaragoza, and everyone speaks about the Messi hat-trick because it was a sensational hat-trick. But what they neglect to mention is the fact that Barcelona were undone by two fairly simple balls over the top of the defence, which caught them out. And it was at 3-2 at one stage. It was 3-0 and came back to 3-2. So they are susceptible from that point of view as well, as we well know that we are. But what's interesting as well is, I think, if you remember the last time that we went and played Barcelona in the Nou Camp, I think it was the 99-2000 season.
That's right, I think.
And in the first half, I don't think I've ever seen an Arsenal team, not so much dismantled, but just unable to get the ball. Absolutely unable, because Barcelona just click, 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 one side of the pitch to the other, backwards, forwards, side of it, and we just couldn't get near the ball. Second half was obviously better, and I think it was Suker who scored the goal. But I don't see Barcelona being able to do that to this Arsenal team this time around. As good as they are, I don't see them having the amount of possession they did that night without Arsenal causing them problems.
Well, I hope not. I mean, both teams are infinitely better with the ball than without it. So this fixture will be decided hugely by retention, I think. Like, if we have the ball...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
We won't have too many problems, you know, because Barcelona are weaker without it and stronger with it. I mean, it's very, very simple, but this will be a game of possession, and then there will be chances. God, this is the most dull thing ever. I might as well say that the team who scores the most goals will actually win. What I mean to say is that it will be about controlling the game, and there will be chances for Arsenal. If we miss them, we will go out. You know, like being clinical in front of goal will be absolutely crucial.
Yeah, all right. I would agree with all that. One man, obviously, the return to Barcelona is Cesc Fabregas. I'm sure there's going to be countless stuff written about him over the next few days. I was somewhere this morning, and one of the guys was saying, well, you know, Fabregas, if he goes to the Nou Camp and plays really well and Arsenal win, Barcelona are going to go even more mad to get him. And then if Arsenal go and lose and Barcelona win the Champions League, Fabregas will be going, you know, I wouldn't mind playing for a team that can actually win things.
Oh, we can't win.
I was going, we can't win at all. No, we might as well.
Maybe
just
we should, for some sort of terrible injury that means he can't play for years and years, and then Barcelona won't be interested at all.
Yeah, I'm touching wood here just in case.
Yeah, please do, because, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they are going to come in from in the summer. There's definitely going to be, you know, shenanigans going on with their presidential elections. I read the story linking with Inter Milan today. I have to say, I don't think he's going anywhere, Fabregas.
No, me neither.
There was a point where I was worried about it, but this Arsenal, to leave now would be foolish, I think, on his part. You know, he's got one, maybe two moves in him in his career. If he goes to Barcelona, you know, he might not have another big move. I think I've often thought maybe he'll go to another club then Barcelona, but this would be a terrible time to leave. He's had his best ever season from my perspective in terms of the goals he scored, the influence that he's wielding on the league. Why he's not talked about as a footballer of the year, I don't know. You know, Rooney and Drogba scored a lot of goals, but Fabregas's level of performance has certainly matched that. You know, I know he had an injury, but every time he's played, he's looked like a match winner, potential match winner. Even in games where his general game hasn't been as good, he can be the difference. Barcelona will come in. I don't think the time is right for him, and it's certainly not right for us. So I wouldn't grow to any grey hairs over it.
I'm not. Anyway, look, we better wrap this up. But you've got some rather fetching Cesc Fabregas t-shirts on the market now via your website, Gunnerblog. Kindly, you've got one to give away to an Arscast listener. I know there's a question. Let's have it.
The question is, what is the name of the youth development system from which we pinched Cesc Fabregas?
So the youth development system at Barcelona, yeah?
Well, that's a clue along the way, but yeah, that's exactly it.
All right, cool. Well, you get your competition entries in. The email address is competition@arsblog.com. We've got one t-shirt to give away, one more next week on the blog, and I give you the Arscast answer next week. Gilberto Silva from gunnerblog.com, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What a splendid, generous man he is. Check out his blog, gunnerblog.com. You can see the Cesc t-shirt on there, and Cesc-y is about the only word I can use to describe it. It's all t-shirty and face on the t-shirt and writing and colours and cool stuff like that. So if you fancy that, the question, again, was what is the name of Barcelona's famed youth system from which we pinched Cesc Fabregas? Answers by email, please, to competition@arsblog.com, and I'll pick out the winner for next week's Arscast. Right now, though, Arshavin.
Hello, I am Arshavin, And this week I am not so happy because we play game against West Ham and the referee send off Vermaelen. For me, this is a terrible decision because I have in second half got to run a lot because we only have 10 men. And I don't like to run. When I run, I have a belly and belly go away. And I like belly. I call him Boris. Boris the belly. I slap him. Sometimes my wife, she draw face on Boris and I run around going, Boris will get you. Boris will get you. But I think this is how you call too much information. And then in papers say that I say Arsenal need new player to win title. And this is lie. I don't say this about Arsenal team, only Arsenal ladies team, because team has too many vagina and not enough testicles. Football team needs players with testicles. And for this is why new players are needed. But I am used to press here in England. I will get Boris after them.
Arshavin will return on another Arscast in the very near future. I've got to give some thoughts on this Champions League draw against Barcelona. I remembered who they were when I was talking to Gilberto Silva there. And as many of you know, I used to live there. I lived there for 5 years. I wasn't there for the game in the 99-2000 season. Moved there in 2001 and came back in 2006. The same year as the Champions League final. But all the time I was there, I was very much hoping that we would draw Barcelona because it would be fantastic to watch Arsenal play Barcelona at any stage, but also in that fantastic stadium and also in a city which was home. So I could just sort of toddle off and go back home and be really drunk and wake up with a hangover in the morning without having to do all the travelling stuff, you see. And, of course, it would have been great for Arsenal to play Barcelona at that stage because they were at the tail end of the Van Gaal era, all the Dutch players, and then they went through this phase of buying players. I think there was some serious money laundering going on through the club at that stage because they paid, I think it was £20 million for, what's the guy's name? Rochenbach. Remember him? And he ended up at Middlesbrough. And they paid a huge amount of money as well for Giovanni. The guy who ended up at Hull. Again, it was £15-20 million they paid for him. And it was this thing going on in Brazil at the time where players were getting capped. You know, they're given 2 or 3 caps and all of a sudden they're international. So they command these ridiculous transfer fees. And Barcelona were, at that stage, kind of a bit poo. So it would have been much better to play Barcelona then than, for example, in the final in 2006. But for some reason, the hot balls or whatever you want to say, it never happened while I was living there. So when the draw came, I have to go back. I've seen Arsenal at Barcelona twice in my life because I was at the game at Wembley where they won 4-2. I went to see that game and I was at the Champions League final, obviously. So when this game came up, I was thinking to myself, a return to Barcelona where I know the city very well, I can go and drink beers and eat nice food in the places that I know and the weather will be quite nice and Arsenal Barcelona's quite the experience as it is. But then there's the whole third time lucky thing going on here. That's what I'm thinking. I'm sacrificing. I know I'm sacrificing for the team, for the rest of you, for Arsenal fans. I have to go and see that game. So very much looking forward to that. Obviously the first leg at home is going to be crucial. The whole lot of it is going to be crucial, isn't it? Because it's a real test of this young team. We know all about Thierry Henry. We know about Cesc Fabregas. The Henry thing is bizarre, isn't it? Where he says, I don't want to play against Arsenal. I'm looking at the draw and I'm like, I just don't want to play against Arsenal. It'll be very hard for me to go out there, even though it's at the Emirates and not a high. He's not going to get picked. I wouldn't pick him. If I was a manager, I don't think I'd pick him. The guy says that, you know. If he comes out and says, well, it's going to be very strange for me to play against Arsenal, but, you know, I'm a professional and I'm going to go out there and give it my best. Yeah, brilliant. Everybody understands you've got a connection. But when you say, I don't want to play against them, I don't want to go out on the pitch against them, that's a little bit odd for me. So I would be surprised if we saw an awful lot of Thierry Henry during the two games. You never know, though. So it's going to be marvellous fun either way. For the neutrals, well, I don't really care about neutrals. I only care about Arsenal and Arsenal fans. It's going to be brilliant for us as well because Barcelona are a team that are so good and so confident in their own ability that they won't go out to try and stop us playing. If you look at United, they do that, Chelsea do that, or they play in a way that really prevents us from playing our football. United in particular do that. They try and nullify Fabregas. Barcelona will go out and play the way they want to play, and that will allow Arsenal to go and play the way we play, which is going to suit us, I think. And it goes back to maybe what Tim was saying last week on the Arsecast, that it might be a good thing for us to play against a team that will just go and play football and allow us to play football as well. So you wouldn't be surprised if there was a load of goals in this. As I was saying to Gilberto Silva, the defences are the weak points. Lots of great attacking skill in both teams. Yeah, I don't even want to mention that little left-footed guy. No point. But at the same time, as cautious as we will be of him, they're going to look at Fabregas and go, ooh, he's a bit good. We know he's a bit good. Look at all the goals he scored. And Arshavin, is he a man for the big occasion? Is he just coasting through the smaller games to save himself for big games? I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise you if he was a guy to get on the score sheet at the Camp Nou. Anyway, the whole thing is going to be just marvellous. It's going to be beer and singing and football and Arsenal and Barcelona and brilliant stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to all of that. We'll look ahead to the Birmingham game right after this.
Hello everyone, it's me again, Sylvester. I have to say I'm not very happy. I can't get a game at all. Even when Thomas Vermaelen is sent off, I don't get to play and Song is moved into centre of defence. I'm so upset, I swear. I'm a man at breaking point. If something doesn't happen, I warn you, Arsene Wenger. I will take matters into my own hands. Only kidding, I wouldn't do anything like that. Oh, baby.
Who knows, over the coming weeks we may need Sylvester's funk. Scary and all as it might be, you just never know. So, tomorrow, a game against Birmingham. The only team with Ming in it. And it's quite an appropriate Ming, you would have to say. Our last experience there was not particularly pleasant. We lost Eduardo to that horrific injury. We drew a game we should have won against 10 men. We should have won that game all day long. And a lot of people point to that game as the game where we lost the title. I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I think it was more a sequence of games because you have to remember that a week or two after the Birmingham game, we went to the San Siro and beat Milan 2-0. So that's a team that isn't necessarily completely banjaxed. What happened, though, of course, was we drew with Birmingham, we drew with Aston Villa, we drew with Wigan, and we drew with Middlesbrough. Four draws on the trot. Aston Villa, maybe you can take a draw against, but the other three games are games that you would expect a team that wins the title to win. So you think about those three draws, and that's another 6 points that we should have had, and that would have made a big, big difference, obviously. As well as that, there were other injuries. There was an injury to Flamini, injury to Bakary Sagne as well, not too long afterwards. And, You know, I think the only thing the Birmingham game really taught us was that William Gallas was not a captain. His reaction at the end of the game is infamous at this stage, and as good a player as he is, I think that showed us that he's not a captain. Arsene Wenger has been talking about that a little bit in his press conference yesterday. He said, we didn't deal with that particular incident very well. At Birmingham, he said, since then, the same thing has happened at Stoke, and we responded in a very strong manner, which is true. The reaction, we've spoken about that before, the reaction couldn't have been more different. He says, I don't think on that particular day we lost the championship. He said there were much more heavier ingredients, like some players not completely focused. Interesting. We have players who are at the end of their contracts. We did not lose the championship at Birmingham. It didn't help, though, you have to say. Didn't help. Because we had a player, for example, and people talk about the injury and the impact that it had on the players, and watching your mate with his leg hanging in a horrible fashion like that, it has an impact on you, obviously, psychologically and all that. But what people sometimes forget is the impact that the injury had to us as a team from a footballing point of view, because Eduardo had just begun to look like a player that was getting used to English football. His finishing was absolutely cool. He was in front of goal. He was deadly. If he missed, I think there was one game, I think it could have been Burnley. Was it in the FA Cup? And he just started scoring. I think he'd come through and people were going, wow, this guy looks like a real player. And he played against Burnley and missed a fairly routine chance. And everyone went, wow, I can't believe he actually missed that, given the way he's been scoring recently. So you think about not only the injury to Eduardo, but perhaps what the injury robbed us of in terms of goals in games. Would we have drawn the subsequent games if Eduardo had been in the team? So it's not just about the psychological impact and how we dealt with the adversity of seeing a player with that injury. I think the bottom line is that we lost a really, really good striker who might have scored his goals, which might have won us a title. So we go back to Birmingham tomorrow, and I think there are some ghosts to be laid at rest there. Whether Eduardo plays or not, he's obviously got a few demons of his own to deal with at the moment. His form isn't great. It's not particularly nice to see, but maybe it would be very nice for him to go back and score a goal and vanquish all those demons and get himself back on track, and I think we'd all like to see that. So fingers crossed for that. I won't be around to watch it, unfortunately, unless I can find somewhere in Galway. I'm in Galway this weekend. Unless I can find somewhere down there, and if anyone's got any recommendations as to a pub which shows the 3 p.m. games on the Hooky satellite, please get in touch. The arseblog at arseblog.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, arseblog.com or twitter.com/arseblog, and let me know if there's a pub in Galway which can do the business. Tom will be here on Sunday with a blog. I'll be blogging tomorrow. Tom will be here with a blog on Sunday. I'll blog you all next week, and of course on next week's Arsecast. Until then, take it easy. Cheers, bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.